Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
You say, well, I prayed Monday morning, I read my Bible, but you know, I got busy, I missed it Tuesday, I caught back up on Thursday, and oh Lord, I made that vow. Your time, your energy, your resources, the discipline, all those decisions, there is a battle, a war for your mind, for my mind, your heart, your agenda, your life, your family, your vocation, your hobby, everything. There is a conflict in the Christian life. Make no mistake about it.
The truth is, you can't win this fight alone. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message, Satan's Plan for Your Life, and shows you the weapons you must use to defeat the devil in the war you're waging as a Christian. It's encouraging truth you'll want to hear, so stay with us. But before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a powerful resource from Dr. Young called Unmasking Evil. This timely sermon series shines a light on the evil and suffering you see around you today and exposes the lies our culture believes that actually wreck people's lives. As you learn from God's Word where evil comes from and how it works, you'll be equipped to stand against evil in your own life and in our culture. We'll send you this 5-message series as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request Unmasking Evil when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Satan's Plan for Your Life, Part 2.
Then Paul tells us our enemy here. Do you see it there? He talks about our enemy. He said, we fight against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, not against human beings, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. In other words, there is a hierarchy of evil that is pitted against you and pitted against me if you're in Christ and I'm in Christ. And therefore, there is the schemes of the devil. How does the devil scheme? He's got your number. Oh, yeah. He's got my number. He knows every hole that is in you. Remember what evil is? A hole. Remember that? Every hole in you, he knows every hole, and he wants to fill every hole up with his schemes to destroy his purpose for your life. Yeah, yeah. And so we see how subtle his scheme. How does he scheme? In a zillion different ways. I mean, he works on our minds. He works on us when we're on the mountaintop. He works on us when we're on the valley. He works on us in every kind of shape, form, fashion. That's the reason you have to have the full armor on. He can't leave any of the pieces off. Because he comes in so many different directions. And then he talks about not only is there is a struggle here. He schemes and then we struggle. A lot of people think the Christian life is all peace. And peace is certainly a vital part of the Christian life, isn't it? We looked at Romans chapter 5 just a little while ago, remember? Be justified by faith and you have what? Peace with God, right? We make our peace with God. Great. And then we turn over in Philippians chapter 4. He talks about we have a peace in Christ that passes all understanding. Boy, that's great peace, isn't it? And then we know we read the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Peace is in third place. We have peace. So all the way through the Scripture, earlier, you read in chapter 2 of this book of Ephesians, he's talking about we have peace. Peace is a big word. Cessation of conflict, peace with God, peace with ourselves, the capacity to make peace with others. That's what Christ gives us as we're in Him, peace. But that's just part of the picture. Also, the Christian life is conflict. Is there any conflict in your life as a Christian? There should be. There ought to be. I think there must be. There is a violence in following Christ, a conflict, a war today. We have peace, but also there's a conflict. When a baby is born, I was not there when my three sons were born. I was in the premises, waiting room, but I didn't go in the room. Back then, you didn't do that. I didn't want to. One doctor threw me a green gown and says, come on in with me. I said, I think I'll stay out here. But how many of you have seen your child, seen a baby? Lift your hand. I mean, oh, yeah, it's the thing to do now. It's the thing to do. And when a child is born, there is a struggle, that first breath, and there's a struggle, and there's crying, and there's some violence there, isn't it? The child is born, the child just lies there. You don't say, well, I guess she's got a phlegmatic personality. No, you want to, slap, awaken, take that breath, right? And that's where there is in this world an agenda that's going the opposite direction what a son or a daughter of God would be going. Therefore, there is conflict and there is violence. There's conflict in the Christian. There's no conflict in your life. You say, well, I prayed Monday morning, I read my Bible, but I got busy, I missed it Tuesday, I caught back up on Thursday, and oh Lord, I made that vow. Conflict. Your time, your energy, your resources, the discipline, all those decisions, there is a battle, a war for your mind, for my mind, your heart, your agenda, your life, your family, your vocation, your hobby, everything. There is a conflict in the Christian life. Make no mistake about it. And then there is so much conflict today because we look at the world and we see so many rats. And we see so much the world is trying to destroy that which we think is good, and we defined it as if it were evil. When the Roman Empire fell, just right after that, Augustine, if you're a scholar, Augustine was the bishop of Hippo in Africa, and he wrote a book called The City of God. And he talked about the city of God. In the sense, the city of God is where God is sovereign. God rules. God reigns. There is love. There is fellowship. There is joy. There is worship. There is celebration. There is life, abundant life, everlasting life, the city of God. In the city of God, they have no elections. He is King of kings and Lord of lords and reigns forever. The city of God. We are Christ followers. We're in Christ. We're citizens of the city of God. Also, there is the city of man. In the city of man, there is capriciousness. In the city of man, there's rats running around. In the city of man, there are idols. In the city of man, there's all kinds of distortedness and confusion about right and wrong and light and darkness and bitter and sweetness. And that is the city of man. You say, well, we're part of the city of God, and the city of God may be in the city of man, but I'm just going to stay in the city of God. Let me tell you something. When there's trouble in the city of man, those who are inhabitants of the city of God must go and unmask evil. Because the city of man, they can't unmask evil. They don't see it. They're just caught up in it. And God should give us eyes that we go and we go to the city of man because we are to love God and therefore to love our neighbors. And it's a part of loving our neighbors. Therefore, as citizens of Christ in the city of God, we get involved in the political process, not thinking that is going to answer the question, but to go there in the name of light and love and seek to set a framework for justice in our world. Justice in our world. Now, You say, well, you know, I don't know if good is passed off as evil, evil is passed off as good. Stay with me. 2005, two federal border agents, about 40 miles down the Rio Grande from El Paso, they saw a suspicious van over there by the river, and they went over and stopped. One agent went over to check out the van. A drug smuggler jumped off and started to beat on him. His friend came out, and he ran in the bushes, and he took his gun and shot at him, didn't think he'd hit him. And he heard in a minute another truck start off, and he got away. They looked in the van. There were 800 pounds of marijuana. They confiscated. The smuggler got away. Waited a couple of weeks. And the smuggler's mother called a friend on the telephone in the area and said, some border guards shot my son in the buttocks. That's a revised word for church. And she said, I didn't think they could shoot an unarmed person. Well, charges were brought against these two federal agents. A trial was taking place, and they brought this drug smuggler on a special leave of freedom to come back to America and testify against them. They were convicted. One sent 11 years, one 12 years in the federal pen. Our border agents. The smuggler sued the government for $5 million for his civil rights were violated. He said in the court of law that he was running drugs so his dying mother would have medicine, but later on it was discovered he was one of the kingpins, one of the leaders of the drug cartel, and they did finally get him. Thank goodness for that. But these two guys served 2 years in jail, and the last thing President Bush did before he left office, he pardoned these two men. He should have pardoned the day they were sentenced. Evil interpreted as good. Good, border agents, interpreted as evil. Boston Marathon bomber put in jail. There's enough evidence against him to convict him 400 times in any court of law. Heinous, vicious, radical, insane crime. They put his picture on the front of Rolling Stone magazine. Boy, he's a handsome kid. They put in the internet, they put a sort of a degree about him, what ought to be done. You know, nobody 19 years old should be persecuted. He's innocent. He got caught up in fanatical Muslim. And, you know, nothing. And so, in about 2 weeks, over 8,000 supporters signed up on his behalf. Too cute, too handsome to die. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Unfair. Had a bad home life. Evil. Twisted, interpreted something that's good. One of my personal heroes, RG3, playing football, Washington Redskins. By the way, the Washington Redskins, I agree they ought to change the name. The name is pejorative, it is prejudice, it is terrible, and it ought to be taken out. Wait a minute. And the name they ought to take out is Washington. The Redskins and Native Americans are noted for their courage, and I think it's an honor, and most of them feel this way, by the way, by an overwhelming percentage, to have a team named after them. It reminds us of our heritage and our roots, and I'm proud of those people, and I'm proud that name is there. That's my personal conviction. Now, take Washington out of it. I think that helped. But RG3 was playing in His ankle went out of joint, serious injury, long time of rehabilitation. He is waiting to have a press conference on crutches. That just happened. And as he's about to go in, he has on a T-shirt. Look at it. See the T-shirt? Read what it says, no Jesus, no peace. Well, the Gestapo, the NFL, went over there and said, you can't go out on national television with that T-shirt on. And see, he went out, that's that T-shirt reversed is what he went out in. They wouldn't let him go out with no Jesus, no peace. They said, RG3, your right of religion, freedom of religion, and your right of expression, freedom of speech, you have to put that on the one hold over here because of the rules of the very pious NFL. You might upset or it might be pejorative. Good, my brother. Spoken of as evil. You're breaking the rules. You're trying to say something that will cause trouble to the whole National Football League. Let's bring it a little closer to home. This is not happening in the life of our church. If I have any good characteristic, that's the gift of confidentiality. I do not break a confidence. I don't go and say, I'm going to tell you this, but don't tell anybody else. You're one of 400 I'm going to tell, and it's for prayer purposes only. No. So I do not break a confidence here. It's something I know about intimately, but not in the life of our church. Teenage girl, pregnant, unwanted pregnancy, went to her parents, told them. They cried. They embraced her. They told her, we're with you. Carry this child. It is our grandchild. We love you. Things are going to work out. She goes to Christian counselors of the church, and they love her and tell her that, man, this is, God's going to heal. God's going to use this in your life and make sure the baby lives. And then she goes and find a couple. A couple didn't have a child for 10 years, and they wanted a child. And they met her and said, we'll take your child that you're not ready for, you don't want now, and bring it up with love and Christ. And she's ready to, do that. 5 weeks go by. This may be the 6th week. But somebody sends her to a secular humanistic counselor, and the counselor says to her, oh, this baby is a burden. You're young. This baby's a burden to you. And your parents are trying to control your life. Oh, what a terrible thing. And that couple, that needy couple is now pouring all their needs and think you have to satisfy the needs of that couple. And that Christian atmosphere, they're trying just to build wrong ideas in your life. And so now the baby is a burden. And the parents are controlling. And the couple is, so needy. And the church is manipulating. Good. The life, not the pregnancy, but good. The life that God has given there, good and holy and sacred, now is turned into something that is evil and wrong and a burden. This is our America. This is our world. And ladies and gentlemen, where were you? Where was I? When these judges were put in office, when these people were elected, when in your company and your marketplace, they said, don't wear that cross any longer. You might offend somebody. Well, I don't agree, but I'm going to have to go along. Where were we when our school system was stripped of any semblance of God? Where were we when all of this was taken out of our culture, piece by piece by piece, and now there are rats running around everywhere? Why do we keep putting liars in places of responsibility, from CEOs to offices and institutions around our nation? And we sit back and we say, I don't want to make any streams, and I'm going to retire in a few years, and this is not what they're like. When is a day that we stand up as Christians and march as an army and say, no more, no more, no more evil being spoken of as good? Sing, stay standing and sing it with me. Sing it with me. Sing it with me.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Sing it.
Forward into battle. See his banners go.
Sing it.
Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Well, before we end our program today, Dr. Young is in the studio to help us discover more about winning the spiritual war. Dr. Young, do you have any personal examples of how you have used the armor of God to fight against the attacks of Satan?
Absolutely. He that is within you is greater than he that is within the world. I claim that promise. And many times when temptation comes in all various sizes, shapes, and forms, we have to remember that we have victory over that temptation when we call on the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within you and lives within me. Therefore, in a sense, we do not have to stand up and individually put on all the armor. It's already there when we're in Christ. That's a part of salvation. We take off the old, we put on the new. We take off the old person, we put on the new person. And in that new person, we are clothed with the army of our Lord.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful series by Dr. Young. It's called Unmasking Evil, and he created it to help you face the evil in our culture in a uniquely Christian way by resting in the assurance of God's love for you and the ultimate defeat of evil through the cross. This 5-message series is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Unmasking Evil when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for tuning in. Come back tomorrow for the beginning of Dr. Young's message, Battle Armor, to discover how to outfit yourself for victory in your Christian walk.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Give us a call at 1-800-350-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255, 9255, 350, 350-9255.